Just Curious.
Welcome to Just Curious Media. This is That's a Crime. I'm Jason Connell.
And I'm Sal Rodriguez.
All right, Sal, we are back with another crime. And your favorite.
Well, my favorite because nobody dies. No fatalities. And sympathetic characters. Like, our main person here, I think, is a sad case, I think.
Okay, sad case. No one dies, so Sal's okay with this episode. Okay. Well, today, Sal, we are breaking down the true crime story of 7-Eleven clerks beat up attempted robber in 2023. Now, Sal, I'm sure you've been to some 7-Elevens in the Los Angeles area.
Yep.
Always a great place. Sometimes there can be an incident that goes down there. I have seen my fair share of things brewing outside in the parking lot. Not the safest place. I'm going to say that right now.
One time, Jason, a buddy of mine and I, about 10 years ago, went to 7-Eleven.
Okay.
Walked in.
Yeah.
And as we're walking in, a guy's walking out, and he was had grabbed the fire extinguisher and fire extinguished the entire place. There was no fire, mind you. No fire.
Yeah. Was that white powder coming out?
There was white powder all over the entire store. And this guy then
dropped
the extinguisher.
And I'm assuming he wasn't a clerk.
No. This was some guy shouldn't be doing those things.
Wow, that is a crime, Sal. If you had some more details, we could put it on That's a Crime.
It was a crime.
Well, let's jump into this crime. It's more recent because on July 29th, 2023, in Stockton, California, 42-year-old Tyrone Frazier was allegedly involved in a dramatic encounter at a 7-Eleven convenience store. Apparently, Frazier had come into the store the prior day and threatened store employees, hinting at shooting them before stealing packs of cigarettes and running out of the store. So, Sal, upon his return to the scene of the crime, as you know, a lot of criminals cannot help themselves. They are drawn back to the scene of the crime. Sal, what is it with that? What is that fascination? Do people really want to get caught? Do they just kind of want to get caught? Is that what's going on?
Jason, the closest example I can give is when I leave a job, let's say when I used to work at the gym, let's say. Yeah. I would leave the gym, move on, either quit or get fired. I would not
Who's
go
coming
back
with
to
me?
That. Yeah, no, I would not go back to that gym for like 10 years. There would be literally like a 10-year gap. And then maybe 10 years later, I would go back and go, oh, I used to work here, you know. But I would let this long period of time go by. I wanted nothing to do with it.
And you didn't even commit a crime.
No, I didn't. No crimes were committed, yet I don't want to be a part of this place.
So, yeah, this would not happen to you. Salvador Rodriguez would not be caught at the scene of the crime. 10 years later, maybe.
Maybe 10 years.
So, Frazier comes back in the next day, and the 7-Eleven employees, the clerks, if you will, are ready for him. Because this time he comes in, Sal, not remembering he attempted or at least threatened to kill these guys. And now he's stealing food. And the clerks go in to action, Sal. And there is a video, a viral video, but we'll hold that for a second. Because as the confrontation ensues, one employee managed to tackle Frazier and hold him to the ground while another, so they're a tandem here, a little tag team, the other would grab a wooden, what appeared to be broom handle and strike him repeatedly on his feet, legs, and rear end.
Yeah.
This is a beatdown, Sal.
Jason, that's why I said, but Jason, at the top of our show, that's why I said I kind of felt sorry for this guy because even though he commits a crime, I kind of feel sorry for seeing some guy getting beaten. Now, he was almost, I would say the beating that was inflicted on him was almost like a spanking almost. So it wasn't like they were hitting him on the head. I don't think he was bleeding from anywhere, but they were just almost the equivalent of a public flogging like they do in some of those other countries if you spit gum out.
That's correct, because if you saw the video, there is a video. It was tough to play. It's more newsreel talking and just a couple little clips because someone else had a cell phone and they're trying to get this. So it's not what you're imagining, like, you know, wooden handle. I'm hitting someone upside their, you know, their legs and their feet. No, it was like slow moving embarrassment, like your pride is being embarrassed, you know, or shattered. and this guy's not putting up the best fight. In fact, Sal, in the video, you can actually hear another customer commenting on things as it's developing, as these blows are happening. And what do they say?
Yeah, you can hear this other voice now. I wasn't certain if it was the person who is holding the camera and actually taking the video.
Could be.
But yeah, it could have been. Or another bystander, because it's an off-camera voice,
as
would be said. But you hear this voice say, "That's called whooping your ass." So people were rooting on the workers as they're doing this. Because you know what? These aren't like badass workers. These aren't like MMA employees. These are like very much like regular dude clerks doing this.
Exactly. And they're like slow moving shots, more just like, stay out of here, don't you do this, you know, holding him down. It's not like bam, 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 hey, lay off, you might kill this guy. It's not that. It's not that at all. And then we actually hear Frazier finally giving up the fight.
No, that was weird. Because he was, well, the words that he says, "Okay, I'm done." So like he wasn't done a few seconds earlier.
Yeah.
But now he's done. I guess
so maybe he's
his
done
limit.
Resisting and he's like, "I've had enough."
Oh, it could have been done resisting. I thought it meant like I'm done being beaten is what
I'm done. Take me to the hospital.
Yeah, I'm done.
Well, he's done. And then somehow, because it's not that bad, Frazier manages to flee the scene before the police arrived. So they probably let him up. Okay, he's had enough. He's learned his lesson. He's not going to come in here anymore and threaten us. Still cigarettes, still sandwiches. He's grabbing all sorts of stuff. He's learned his lesson, and he flees. So again, he's not, you know, impaled. He's not like unconscious, nothing like that. But later, because he got away before the police arrived, later he was found by authorities because they responded to a separate call in the area about a man complaining of leg pain from an apparent beating with a stick.
Yeah.
So, you know, Columbo team out here putting it together. Wait a second. We just heard about this, the guy at 7-Eleven. Now, however, due to the lack of evidence connecting him to the 7-Eleven incident, Frazier wasn't arrested until August 7th after the video robbery went viral. Because it did indeed go viral. This was a chance to see the establishment stand up for themselves. And a lot of these 7-Elevens are owned by these employees, or sometimes they are, so they have more skin in the game. You know, we've done these like flash robs recently where they come in and employees are just like, "Hey, take what you will, take what you want." But they're not, it's not their merchandise.
Sure. And they're not related to the owner. They're not like possibly a cousin or relative of the owner.
They're not the owner or related to the owner. So these guys are probably like, enough's enough. Sure. You know, they're going to stand up for, you know, their place. So as for the 7-Eleven clerks, they initially faced potential assault charges as a result of their response. And that's interesting, Sal. You're defending your territory. You've been threatened by getting shot, potentially being shot, and you retaliate and you could have faced assault charges. I don't know. I mean, if they kept going, I just don't know where that line is. And if he doesn't have a weapon, I don't know. But that just seems kind of like, is it you can't take it too far or you can't defend your property at all? I just don't know how that ever would have come into play. Thoughts?
Well, there are all these gray areas, and that's where the attorneys do their magic, right? Is delineation of what you did was over the line, what you did was uncalled for, unnecessary, whatever the phrase is. Maybe, yeah, you hit him 10 times instead of only 2 times, you know. There are all these gray areas. But in this instance, though, it did seem like they were just trying to sort of maybe punish him and get rid of him. Yeah. They were not trying to inflict irreparable damage. They were not trying to knock him out. They weren't trying to make him bleed. You know, they it looked like they were giving him a punishment, because a lot of the comments in some of the video links, a lot of the comments were very much rooting on the workers, saying, "Yeah, that's right, go for it. Justice is served." I remember one of the comments said, "Justice is served."
Yeah,
this is one of these instances of what we talked about on the show before: vigilantism, taking the law into your own hands. And what does that mean for these people? Capturing the guy. Mm-hmm. Removing the stolen goods, giving him a little beat down, and then letting him go is what they did.
Right. They did let him go. I mean, he got out of there, but I'm sure they could have just stayed on top of him, and they didn't.
Yeah.
I agree. So whatever the potential was of that, it didn't happen because San Joaquin County District Attorney said the employees will not be charged.
That's good.
I feel the same. You know, they didn't take it too far. I hope that Frazier stays away. But as for Frazier, further investigations linked him to other crimes in the area, including robberies, previous robberies that had gone unreported. Wow, it's all linking up to Tyrone Frazier as he now faces the following charges.
2 counts of robbery, attempted robbery, criminal threats, commercial burglary, and vandalism.
Whew. That's a healthy record there. Wow.
Commercial burglary. Okay, I think that would be different than residential 7-11. Burglary. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so he's facing these. Not sure where things stand now. We're into October, but I'm assuming he'll be found guilty on some. There is video evidence of one in particular, at least a beatdown. And yeah, not a good thing, Tyrone. I probably would take this opportunity to deviate from the path that you're on, because it's not working, and winding up on that's a crime. But he'll probably be facing some jail time, Sal, I would say.
You know, Jason, there are these, I would say, decades or moments in one's lifetime where I think there's still opportunity. I do think he's 42. I will not put it past a 42-year-old to be able to change their life.
Sure.
I think it would be unlikely that a 42-year-old would turn their life around.
Okay.
But I do believe it's possible. I do believe people can change. I do have some hope for Tyrone Frazier. I hope he's okay. I hope he gets his medical treatment. I hope he serves his time. I hope the employees are okay. I hope they're not traumatized and have PTSD. Hope everybody's okay after all this. And I'm glad no one was fatally injured.
I totally agree. Yeah, it could have been a much worse situation. It wasn't. It's a lighter crime. It also goes to show that you could just be at a 7-Eleven and chaos can break out, as you have seen in the past. So
yeah.
Be careful out there, as I warn people. This is more of the everyday crime, but a crime nonetheless, because we cover all things on That's a Crime, from
a misdemeanor to a murder. Jason, I just want to mention that I do feel kind of bad for the name 7-Eleven, because I think 7-Eleven can get a bad rap with stories like this.
Sure.
Overall, I enjoy 7-Eleven. Overall, I love me a good Coke Slurpee. Love a good Coke Slurpee.
If the machine's working.
And I will tell you this, if the machine's working, like the McDonald's shake machine. I used to tell single female friends who would say, where do I go to meet a guy? I would say, go to 7-Eleven. I used to call it the single guy store. I used to tell single women, go to 7-Eleven. I noticed today, though, I will see more women in 7-Eleven. I will actually see, I don't know, maybe like 70-30, 70% men, 30% women, whereas it used to be like 90-10, 90% men, 10% women. So it's
very
becoming a more gender-mixed place.
Well, one thing I've noticed as we wrap this crime up is that 7-Elevens, they've always got some hangerouts, if you will.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
It attracts, like, let me get the door for you and I'll be waiting here for a tip on the way out, kind
sure.
sir.
Yeah.
There's that element. And they, you know, I get it. Homeless have to go somewhere. And in Los Angeles, I saw it even more than I've seen it elsewhere in the country. But 7-Elevens are very similar throughout the entire United States. So there's that element. And it can definitely breed that kind of dirty factor that I got to keep my eye open here. In Oklahoma, there's something called Quick Trip. And Quick Trip is like high-end 7-Elevens, right? To the next level. Oh. Convenience stores that are like, they're so well run, Sal, that police hang out there. They get free drinks. It runs more like a mini grocery store. So that set the bar for me. They've kind of phased out 7-Elevens in Tulsa anyway. So I would go in there and just think.
Oh, I thought you were saying you phased out 7-Elevens.
I did, and a lot of places, because these Quick Trips have come in. It's like they've got great gas. They have great prices. It's clean. They don't even allow that element anywhere near. So it's more of like this safe haven, like a little, like a nice grocery store.
Interesting.
So then I forget, when I moved to LA, I was like, oh yeah, there's these 7-Elevens. I don't mind they're a bit grimy. I don't. But that element and factor is there. It is real. And I even read they can't chase off any vagrants or people on their property. Like, legally, they have a right to be on this public parking lot. So what they started doing several years ago, Sal, is piping loud music in their speakers outside. And I would come into a 7-Eleven and go, well, who's playing that classical music, or who's playing
classical.
That heavy metal? I was like,
right.
Yeah, it was classical. And they just did it to deter people from setting up shop right out front, wanting to clean car windows, you know, not really being asked, or opening the door for people. So that was how they do it. So it's funny how some establishments have to tiptoe around that, and others like Quick Trip, it's like, that element's not welcome here. So maybe it's just where it is in the country, but it is interesting to me. But as I read this crime, it did not surprise me. It was at a 7-Eleven, and it was late, late into the night. Like, he came in at like 3 a.m. the night before, and this incident happened close to 1 a.m. Not a shocker. Mm-hmm. In fact, yeah, it might behoove places just to close up. Like, we close at 10 and we'll be open at 10. You know what I mean? Like, not how much business is happening from midnight to 5 a.m.? Probably not a lot. And there's probably a lot more incidences like this. I'm just saying.
I have speculated on this in the past, Jason. These places that are open 24 hours, whether it be a convenience mm-hmm. mart, a grocery
AM,
store,
PM, a, 24,
a,
yeah.
PM, or a gym, 24-hour fitness, 24 used to be open fitness. 24 hours. I'm not certain about today, but for a while they were. Yeah, how much money are they earning during yeah. that portion of time to justify not only the expense, but the potential hazards with being open so late? Yeah. I would not want my business open probably beyond 9 o'clock.
Yeah, I think you're asking for trouble, and I'm not trying to talk like an old prude or John Lithgow in Footloose, you know, as the preacher, like, let's no dancing. No, I'm just saying there's not a lot of upside. And when I'm traveling across the country and you need gas, it's like, hey, man, there's a lot of them closed down because the volume. I'm going to a small town to get gas. Someone's open. And sometimes, Sal, you go to these little places and you can't even go in, but you can get gas.
Sure.
They'll let you buy the gas or pay through a little thing. I don't mind that element. And if that's my establishment, I'm just taking it out of play. Late at night, things happen. You know, they always said that to athletes. Nothing good's happening at 2 a.m. Get back to your dorm or get back to the hotel with the team. You got a game. I mean, I'm just, equating it to athlete terms. But anyway, so that kind of came to mind because we didn't talk about the times until just now. That sure. this crime happened. Yeah, we could probably get a data sheet, Sal, of like crimes at 7-Elevens or other convenience stores after midnight, up until like 4 a.m. compared to any other time. And I'm sure it's, a lot higher in those non-peak hours. But
I would be interested in, Jason and I, for those of you outside of California, may take for granted Circle K. Circle K is sort of new in Los Angeles. I believe possibly newer in California, because I know we only started seeing a few Circle K's pop up in LA recently in recent years. So I'm going to see how those stack up as far as crime. How much crime is going to be happening at Circle K as opposed to 7-Elevens or AMPMs?
Well, Sal, you're talking about Circle K. Strange things are amiss at Circle K. That goes back to Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, 1989 comedy. And that was filmed in California. So Circle K's have been there since the 80s, brother.
Really?
But it wasn't in Los Angeles. They were out in San Bernardino, which, is nearby. So
sure. We had several. You're right. Yeah.
We had Circle K's in Tulsa as well. But again, they were devastated by Quick Trip. So
I got to check out Quick Trip, but there's none in Los Angeles, Quick Trip.
No, they would take over the West Coast. I've always said this. They're like in Arizona and Texas, but their headquarters, Oklahoma, Tulsa, Oklahoma, is like the training facility for the whole country.
I want to check it out.
Get you a job there, buddy. Well, that covers the true crime story of the 7-Eleven clerk's beat up attempted robber in 2023. A lot of fun, Sal. It even brought up a second discussion about just the safety of convenience stores and the hours that they should be operating. But now comes a new favorite segment of That's a Crime, and that is the Spotlight, series. It's a whole new arena that we've created so many episodes ago. But we go back in the archives, in our library, and pull a crime out from the past and talk about it, brush it off, and remind people it's worth listening to for the first time or revisiting. And today I have chosen episode 30, Man Arrested Three Times in One Day in 2022. Now, just to be clear, it was not Tyrone Frazier from this last crime.
Good.
This definitely was not him. It wasn't California, but it was James Langdon of Glendale, California. Near you. I used to live near Glendale. I used to live in Glendale at one point in time.
That's close by.
But he was arrested three times in one day, and it was Super Bowl Sunday, February 13th, 2022. While the Rams were winning the Super Bowl cross town, he was getting arrested for the second or third time. A classic crime, Sal.
I would imagine if you were a police officer responding to something during Super Bowl Sunday, you'd probably be upset that something's taking you away from the game, some stupid stuff taking you away from the
What's
Super
his name? Bowl. Langdon. I just arrested him a few hours ago.
Exactly. I arrested him first quarter. Now third quarter?
Come on, the game came down to the last play of the game. Like, this Langdon's killing me. Oh, a classic crime. I had to pair these together. They were kind of silly crimes, guys not thinking it through. You know, obviously, Tyrone knew, should have known not to go back to the 7-Eleven that he was provoking the clerks the night before. Bad things are going to happen if you do, and they did. And James kept getting out on bail or released, and he kept finding himself behind bars. I don't know if he just wanted a meal and a bed. I don't know, but he was arrested 3 times in one day. Check it out. It's true. These are true crimes on That's a Crime, and that one's well worth your time.
Yeah, and we don't even, do we remember what he got arrested for?
They were silly, like breaking in an apartment. Remember, he came in like, right. Hey, what are you doing in here, huh? I mean, it was just silly.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't any felonies, I don't think. It was like, oddball crimes.
And just stacked them in one day. He just went for it.
Well, I got to hand it to him. I hope he's okay, too. Man, these
guys.
Oh,
I hope he's okay.
These guys are trouble.
Maybe he's beaten his own record. People. Maybe he's gone.
Since then, we may need to update. He may have. You know what? Now that you mention it, I don't know if for anybody paying attention, the Guinness Book of World Records is really blowing up right now. I've been a big fan my whole life, but right now you could conceivably.
It's getting a bit obscure, though, isn't it?
Well, yeah, that's true. But this could be one of them. You know, most arrests in a day. We'd have to look at that.
How many hours of podcasting can you do in a row? I've been podcasting for 3 straight weeks.
Yeah, people are doing that thing now.
I mean, these are records that shouldn't be broken and shouldn't even be attempted, but that's a whole other discussion.
Well, I want to see if James Langdon goes for most arrests of the day. I'm rooting for him.
There you go. We recorded that back on February 18th, 2022. Plenty of time for James to stir up more trouble in Glendale. That's for sure. So thank you so much for listening, and please be sure to subscribe to the That's a Crime podcast and the That's a Crime YouTube channel. You can also really help us by giving the show a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts.
And for all you listeners that enjoy sharing your thoughts, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, send us a direct message, or post a comment on any That's a Crime social media platform.
We also highly recommend checking out our other podcasts and visiting justcuriousmedia.com.